grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, promised once long ago, who has appeared, and who has redeemed us with his own blood, fellow redeemed. Our sermon text today are the words of St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, beginning in chapter 4 with verse 13. And I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text today. Paul writes, "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So far, our text. Let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed, The time after the Lutheran Reformation, 1500s, 1600s, those were not exactly pleasant times. There was a lot of heartbreak and sorrow. Entire nations were breaking apart because of those who wanted to hold on to unscriptural doctrine. There was disease and war. During that time, there was a man who strove to bring people together around the Bible. He didn't like the strife about doctrine that was going on, even though he knew it was needed. He wanted peace. And for this reason, he couldn't bring himself to sign the Formula of Concord. That's one of our confessions of faith, one of the creeds. Mostly because he couldn't stomach the debate. And it saddened him to see the sacred word of God tossed about in argument. His name was Martin Schalling. He wrote the hymn that we just sang. And some have wondered whether Schalling lost heart. But I think when you hear the words of that hymn, you know for sure that he trusted in the Lord and did not lose heart. He wrote that hymn, "Lord, thee I love with all my heart." And as a refrain, doesn't he say, "Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, forsake me not, I trust thy word." He might have faltered, but he did not lose heart. Sin did not defeat him, because he trusted Jesus. His sufferings didn't bring him to despair, because God gave him strength and patience to bear with it and to bear his cross. And the Lord was with him. The world did not overcome him, because he had the precious forgiveness of his Savior, and he knew it. He did not lose heart, but he confessed his faith in this amazing Lutheran hymn. Today, we don't face the same trials that Martin Schalling faced those many years ago. We don't have to work quite so hard to get a bite to eat. We don't know poverty and hunger and persecution quite as much as he did. Even our plague is nowhere near as deadly as his. We live in a land where we can worship God. But though the times have changed, I would put to you this: we are in essentially the same situation as he was in. We are faced with many of the same decisions that Martin Schalling had to face in his life. Every one of us is ridiculed to some degree or another by the world, and certainly by the evil angels who think it's just plain silly and pointless for us to trust God and to insist that the Bible is God's word and to serve our neighbor and our God. The vast majority of the people around us right now think that we are a fringe group and not fit for modern religious dialogue. Every one of us in this room will experience that ridicule sooner or later. And every one of us will experience the tragedy of human life filled with conflict and cut short by death. We have the opportunity to make our decisions in the interests of God and our neighbor, but like Martin Schalling, we so frequently fail. So the question today is, have we lost heart? Have our sins defeated us? And by all outward appearances, we'd have to answer that question, yes. Can anyone look God in the eye and honestly say, I've done everything, just as you've asked, Lord? I haven't missed a thing. Have we really done all that we could for our neighbors? Have we really loved our God perfectly? Have we passed by somebody in need? Have we remembered God's word that tells us that everyone's greatest need is to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and to hear the forgiveness of sins in him? Do we have our priorities right? Have we remembered to gather for the Lord's Supper and to hear his word and to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and to pray for ourselves and our neighbors? Do we do that as we should? We haven't done these things perfectly. And there's the proof that we don't obey God and his just and perfect law. We don't love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength and with all our mind. We don't love our neighbors as ourselves. And these sins alone would separate us from God's love. They'd be enough to separate our whole human race from him, because we've all sinned. We've all done just as Adam and Eve did in the beginning. We've all inherited that sinful nature from them. We're through and through sinners, and by all reasonable measures, we ought to be condemned by God and cast out from his presence. But we're not cast out. We're not defeated. The scriptures say God heard our cry for mercy, and he turned his ear to us. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. And in his great, great mercy toward us, he sent his own son, Jesus, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin, to take our place in the judgment and cover us with his righteousness and his perfection, so that God declares us to be fit for heaven. Jesus died on the cross with our sins on his shoulders. That's why the scriptures say, so there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Have we lost heart? Have our sins defeated us? Well, today, this morning, we say hardly. If it were up to us, we surely would have brought everything to ruin by now, but God made it his business to redeem us, every one of us, at great cost. And that's what he's already done for you and for me, and even for the whole world. Our sins have not defeated us. What about our sufferings? What about the sufferings that we have to endure as a result of sin, just being in this world? What about the loss of a child? What about the unexpected cut to the family budget? What about that bad diagnosis from the doctor? What about that growing back pain that just won't go away? What about lawsuits and natural disasters? What about the growing sense of futility? What about death, as it inevitably closes in on each and every one of us? Have our sufferings brought us to despair? I think at times pretty close. And yet for most of us, they haven't. Not yet, anyway. Most every day we go zooming along through life, not giving these things much thought, not counting our blessings, oblivious to what's coming. Maybe we're not suffering now, and so maybe we can just sort of ignore it, but we're not animals with no sense of the future. God made us to know time and eternity. So where are you headed? Where are you headed in eternity? Biggest question. Without the work of God's Spirit bringing us his constant forgiveness, well, we would despair. We would have no hope. But Christ sent his Spirit to support us through the strife, to lead us always and ever so gently back to the forgiveness of our sins in word and sacrament. To hear those words of Jesus' invitation, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Have we lost heart? Have our sufferings brought us to despair? No. We have God's word made perfect in us. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. It sounds like wishful thinking, doesn't it? That's what the world makes of statements like St. Paul's. That's the only explanation that the world has for the Christian's unconquerable hope in Christ. The world thinks that we are nuts. We're foolish. And certainly we have nothing with which to visibly prove ourselves. The scriptures say, but faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It is by grace, through faith, that you've been saved. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God gave us his invisible gifts that we will never see, that the world will never see with its eyes and its senses and its reason. He's given us everything that we need for our life and salvation by faith. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Has the world overcome us? It certainly appears that way at times, but nothing could be further from the truth. This world is passing away. And even its opinion of God and His Word passing away, but the Word endures forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, the Scriptures say. What great comfort there is in that. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. All this is for your benefit, so that grace may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. We believe, therefore we speak. Though we've fallen short, we do not lose heart. God forgives us our sins, and He gives us His own Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And He sends His Spirit into our hearts to give us faith and strengthen us. Let this hope be constantly on our hearts and on our lips in our daily lives, so that we too might make the good confession, so that God's grace would abound to the many through us. We never want to turn from this mission, no matter what, because it's the Lord's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Those who don't yet know the Lord need to hear, or they will surely be condemned, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have a mission, fellow redeemed. Remember that we don't need to lose heart. Remember that sin is defeated in Christ. Remember that our suffering is only for a little while and can't compare to the glory of that which is to come. Remember that we see what the world does not see. We see by Spirit-given faith in the Son that the Father loves us as His own dear children. Let us raise our voices, as did Martin Schalling and these men of the Scriptures, the apostles and all the saints. Let us raise our voices to praise our God and tell our fellow man about Him, who He really is. Let us love with all our hearts and ask the Lord to strengthen us, that we may not fear, that we may be bold, and that many may hear and have eternal life. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.